Lord, help us as we look at Genesis 6, just so much to cover again. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us perception and understanding, even though I know I don't grasp it all, that there's just so much to take in. But, Lord, we want to just learn more about your dealings with Noah. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 6, starting at verse 11, I feel like I'm going through Romans 12 again. We looked at verses 8 and 9 last week, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, this was the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That is extremely amazing based upon what you find in the first 7 verses of Genesis. The entire world was corrupt except Noah and his family, apparently. It was that bad. Starting with verse 11 now, the earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what?
Violence.
So beyond corruption was violence. It was kind of like everyone doing what they want, and whoever had the strongest army or weapons or whatever was just wiping out other people. Can you imagine that, having that? In other parts of the world, it's kind of run that way, even now. So verse 12, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. All flesh, doing whatever they want. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So God contacts Noah. We'll get into that, I guess. Verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Okay, 100 miles an hour here. We'll see what we can do today. Number one, God reviews his reasons. God reviews his reasons. I'm just going to put the word reasons here. I don't know why, but it reminded me of Revelation 20. Before God casts the dead into the lake of fire, he reviews their works by the books that their works are recorded in, and also the book of life. It almost looks like that. God is just double-checking, not that he would make a mistake or could make a mistake, but that's how gracious God is. He reviews it again and says, no, it absolutely needs destroyed. So he reviews his reasons. Letter A, God rules creation. God rules creation, and letter B, people were corrupt. I bring this, God rules creation, from two different places. You see, before God, the earth was corrupt before God. That's what matters. It's not public opinion polls. It's not elections or votes. It's what does God think, because God rules over creation. And then God is looking and judging. I don't think anything that happens in this world or the United States of America is in any way outside of the realm of God's constant awareness, evaluation, and judgment. Okay? You see that here. It says here that people were corrupt. And I listed the points that we had in Genesis 6. Sin keeps getting worse and worse. God, who is holy, will not put up with sin forever. And God at this time decides to destroy everyone and everything on earth. Okay, so, and I list the extra things. The earth was filled with violence. People hurt and kill each other. All flesh, people had corrupted their way in the earth. Okay, so that's number one. We actually, I think, have 5 points today, main points. Number two, then, God tells Noah. God tells Noah. Okay? And the first one is, I have three A, B, and C here. God contacts Noah. Okay? So the word is contacts. Up until this time, we're not given any hint that God had talked to Noah. Okay? Maybe he had, maybe he hadn't, but there's no evidence in Scripture that God had any sort of communication with Noah up until this time. First time, as far as we know. Okay? I listed here, God shares what the result of the decision is. The end of all flesh is before me. God shares why he decided this. The earth is filled with violence. God shares the way he will carry out his decision. He will destroy them. Okay? And I list here, there's no indication that God had talked to him. I do have, very few have had this privilege throughout history where God talks directly to them. Adam, Cain, Lamech, Noah, Abram, Moses, prophets, but very, very few, comparatively speaking. Okay? Letter B, God shares his plan with Noah. He contacts Noah, kind of gives him the big picture, then he shares his plan. How's he going to do it? God will flood the earth, and God will destroy everything that breathes. You see that? In which is the breath of life. Now, we're going to talk about that more in a minute, but understand that that means land-focused people and animals, not fish. Okay? It's different because fish aren't impacted by water. Letter C, God establishes his covenant with Noah. We'll get into it more later, but there's several covenants. These are different than covenant theology. Okay, but you have it's called the Noahic covenant that we'll see more in chapter 8 and 9. We have the Abrahamic covenant. By the way, what's a covenant? Yeah, it's agreement, promise, rules. It could be rules. Here, it's Noah didn't have to do anything other than here, make yourself an ark. I've chosen you to be able to do this. But what we use, because Jane was asking, what word do I use? The kids don't understand covenant or even agreement. And I said, well, what about promise? Promise is God's promising to do something. Okay? And that's what he does. You have the Noahic covenant, and he says, I'm going to deliver your family. This is the first part of it. And then you see the rest in end of chapter 8 and then chapter 9. You have the Abrahamic covenant. Look to the stars. I promise, if you will. Your seed will be like the stars or the sand of the seashore. And you'll have, I'm going to give you specific land. You'll have, be the father of many nations, and you'll be in you, all the nations of the earth will be what? Blessed. So land, seed, and blessing. Then you have, am I missing one? The Davidic covenant. You will always have someone to rule, all of this kind of stuff. So there's different agreements or promises that God has given to the. Here he promises to do this. You'll see some notes here. These are for the teachers, actually. I took some of them out, but some of them are still here. So a covenant is an agreement. For kids, maybe promise. God chose to establish an agreement, a covenant, a promise with Noah. And we'll get into that in chapter 8 and 9 later. But he says, but I will establish my covenant with you. And then number three, God delivers Noah. I put this as a separate point. It's actually part of what God tells Noah. But it's a bigger thing. Jimmy can grab us. God delivers Noah. Number three, part of God's covenant or the promise that God made was to deliver Noah, Noah's wife, Noah's three sons, and their wives from being killed by the flood. Remember, he was going to destroy the rest of everything that had breath in it. Okay? So that's part of the covenant that God makes with Noah. And again, these are completely different then when you think of covenant theology, it has nothing to do with that, okay? An interesting observation in light of the polygamy of the day. I was just thinking about this when I read this. Noah and his sons each had only one wife. Remember, in early in chapter 6, it said the sons of God took as many wives as they wanted. So polygamy seemed to have been at least what they... Maybe it wasn't the rule of the day, but it was definitely rampant. Neither Noah nor his three sons had more than one wife, as it appears. By the way, is it 1 or 2 Peter 8? I think it's in our notes later, but it confirms that there's only eight. You know, so it's not like, well, maybe they had more wives and they didn't. No, it says that there were eight people that were saved. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Ham, and Mr. Japheth. Okay, that's it. I did.
That kind of set me back a little bit because I didn't, concerning how old Noah was when he went into the ark and how old his children were, the fact that they were married.
Or that they would be married.
Would be married.
There's no indication that... maybe that they would have wives before it was over. I'm just throwing that out. I don't know. Okay, because maybe they weren't married yet. It appears that they didn't have children until he didn't have children until he was 500 years old, unless he had other children that weren't walking with God or something. It could also be, this is a total whim, but the way it's written, they possibly could have been triplets. I'll let you chew on that one. Okay. Yes. They were definitely not going with the flow of the culture, but instead following God's plan for marriage. So we have that there. But maybe if they weren't born until he was 500 years old and God contacted him then, you know, maybe they weren't getting married earlier on until in their 60s to 100 to 140. So they could have taken wives before the flood. Right before the flood or something. I don't know. Speculation. That means I'm guessing and have no idea. That's a speculation. Sounds a lot easier than I have no idea. I'm guessing. Okay. Number four, God. This is kind of a mainstay here. God commands Noah. Okay. He approaches Noah. He says, I'm going to destroy the world because the world is corrupt. It's filled with violence. Here's a list of things I want you to do. Letter A. I gotta remember what I have here. Build an ark, okay? Build an ark. What's the word ark mean? Wrong. What's the word ark mean? Nope. I'll change your mind on that then. This is gonna... Well, look at the Ark of the Covenant. It means the same thing.
Box.
Not a half circle after all, is it? Here, let's keep going here. Because it on the next page, I think it's on the next page for you. Is that right? On the next page, we're on the next page. Yeah. Okay. What can you tell me about the Ark? Supposed to be made out of gopher wood. What's gopher wood? Let me answer the question. Nobody knows for sure. Okay, next point. Make rooms. Okay, you're going to put a lot of animals here. He hasn't told Noah yet what's coming. This is all Noah's just hearing it for the first time, right? Make a bunch of rooms in the ark. Jane said one place that it's nests. It could be, you know, stables or whatever, because obviously you're going to need a lot of space. Okay? Cover it inside and outside with pitch. What's pitch? Like a tar. Waterproof it. Okay, make it tight, but then waterproof it to make it really watertight. Okay?
Interjection. What they did was they would take what we would call the tar, and they would mix it with leaves, grass, straw, and then they would put it between the layers. When the board came, they put the next board, they put it in between that, and then they would bring the next board down on top of it, and that would seal it up, and then they would take the same slime,
yeah,
and put it on the inside and outside of the boat. Oh. That water.
My young sons would love that.
there's where your first problem was. First you saw it in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Well, it could pitch could be, could it not be from like trees to like the sap? I don't know. Yeah. Either way, they waterproofed it somehow. Pitch, probably tar, the same. Okay. The size. Now, here, this is where it gets here. 300 cubits. Let's do this here. I'm going to draw a line here. I'm going to use brown because for two reasons. Brown is probably the color of the wood before they pitched it in and out. And also, I think this marker works. Okay. 300 cubits. I know what you're thinking. Hang on. What's a cubit, right? Okay. What's next? 50 cubits wide. So a sixth of that wide. 50 cubits. And what next? 30 cubits high? Okay. 30 cubits. And however you want to put the roof. It could be flat. You know, we don't have any photographs of the ark. Some people have it as a, you know, a roof like this. It may not have had a steep roof. The goal was to float, right? That was the goal. That's all we know. I would say, based upon the description here, he doesn't say anything about this.
Should be right there burning on the
tree. Yeah, I agree. Should be. Okay. What's it look like, Jenny? Yeah, arc box that you got to write down. Okay, actually, this should be a little over here for perspective. All right, so you got a box. What else? By the way, how big is a cubit? No one knows for sure. Well, we don't know what they thought is a cubit anyway. But some people say 17 and a half inches, some people 18. But let's just take 18 because it's easy. Math is easy. So 18 inches is 1.5 feet. So how long is this? Yeah, it's long. It's huge. 45 feet tall. How tall is a normal story? 12 feet? It's like three, almost four stories tall. Our church tower is probably not 45 feet tall. Is it, Jim, you think? And then what's 75 feet wide? That is just amazing. Josh, what's our lot size? Remember the 450 feet? It's just huge. We're talking about this massive box. What else can you tell me about it? It's got rooms. It's got one door. And, you know, you always see the picture of it's like a door that is a ramp. I don't know. It doesn't go into detail. Okay, so we'll just make that the door. Okay. And then, by the way, the exercise to go do something like this is go measure it outside. And then have somebody down at the other end and just to see how huge it is. It's just, like I said, it's over a football field. It's a football field and a half long. And it's 45 feet tall. It would just be like huge. And 75 feet. How wide is a street? About. This would be a very wide highway. Divided. It's like an interstate highway wide. Yeah. I mean, it's huge. Like a double, two lanes with a median in the middle kind of idea. It's huge. Okay? What else can you tell me about it? It's got a door, three decks. So inside, well, but understand too, and this is the other thing that we'll just briefly touch on, who says you have to have an adult draft? Unless, of course, you're selling wallpaper, and then you have the giraffe sticking their head out, you know.
Well, here's the thing is, we think that there has to be room by room by room by room. There could be, all the floors could have been an major in type of thing.
Right. Spots in the middle or whatever, it probably wouldn't need to have that.
Yes.
Okay. Even dinosaurs. Were there dinosaurs? Most likely they were. Dinosaurs are just reptiles that live a long time and get real big. You don't have to have big ones. You can have little ones, right? We have dinosaurs today. They're called turtles and lizards and all that. If you let them grow for 900 years or whatever, turtles live now for 200 and 300 years, okay? But you don't have to get the big ones, okay? So anyway, here's this huge, massive thing here. Well, it doesn't say one window, does it? What does it say? You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it. Now listen, what some people say, and again, I don't know, speculation, but they're saying it doesn't really define a window as a window, necessarily. But they said, notice it says, finish it to a cubit from the top. You see that? So I'm going to think maybe it's a cubit wide thing all the way across here for air slash light or whatever. Does that make sense? I don't know. Because, man, when you get an enclosed animals, you're talking thousands, if not tens of thousands of animals. They'll be very small. You don't have to get mama elephant. You can get baby elephants kind of thing and all that. The smell is amazing. There's farmers every year that are overcome and die just from that. The lagoons and stuff. What are they called? The stuff, they get overwhelmed and they suffocate from it. Okay, so you need some kind of... So obviously that's involved too. But okay, the next one here, the next command is collect animal pairs. And I put the word animal, I guess. Okay? Why? To keep them alive, it says, number one male and one female. Add those together. Two. Got it. Okay, I was just double checking. Two of every kind. Genesis 7, which we're not in yet, adds that they took seven of the clean animals and some birds or whatever, okay? Not going to go in that now. Probably touch on it next week. The groups. It's just a list of ones that wouldn't survive in the water, right? Birds, animals, and creepy things. And by the way, they say, well, there's so many thousands of types of dogs. You wouldn't even be able to fit all those in there. Well, how would that work? You don't have to get every dog. Yeah, you would get one, you know, you could have something that would produce both the wolf and the dog kind of breed, if you will, or species. And from that, everything else could come from that. They still create new species or breeds out of dogs. Same with cats or whatever. It doesn't necessarily require them to have every flavor of everything. Okay. Groups, we already talked the process. It's interesting that it says two of every kind will come to you. It's like, wow, this is, you know, that's a lot of work. Well, apparently God had them. That's why I said collect rather than gather here. Because apparently, and that when God did this, was it right before the rain? I don't know. Or how long would it take to fill something with three decks? Full. Obviously, they needed the space either for food or for animals, right? Yeah. How long would it take to do that? It would take a long time, okay, to put everything in there, bed them up, all that kind of stuff, and then to keep them alive while you're still loading everything else up, right? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. The last one is C, food. Gather enough food. Now, it's interesting. It says, you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten. So part of the project is not only building the ark, but collecting enough food for all of you and the animals. Okay? Here's my list here. Noah had to gather the food for his family and for the animals. Bird food. Cat food, you know, whatever that they would eat, okay? Noah would have had to preserve slash store the food in the ark. How long would that take? I don't think God told him how long either. I mean, how long the flood was going to be. So it was like, okay, that ark was probably filled as much as it could be filled. And that would be enough kind of thing. That's why it's as big as it is kind of thing. And Noah had a lot of work to do to collect food because there's all kinds of food. And it doesn't say here, but I would assume that they would need like straw or hay or I don't know. It doesn't say any of that. But I would think maybe that would be part of the food gathering, because you can't just have animals in there without cleaning out their stalls and stuff. Unless God divinely did something to, you know, put them to sleep or something.
The interesting thing in that regard is that you have all, you have herbivores, you have carnivores, and you have even...
Or not. Because the logic is, like Ken Ham and some of the others, that there was not a carnivorous attitude in animals until after the flood. But it could be the possibility.
Like that for a whole year,
they'd be eating each other anyway.
You could want to kind of have something for lunch too.
The last one here is Noah obeys God. Okay, now there's just a little bit left to cover here. It's thus did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Now let me read just down through here. There's nothing else for you to fill out. Noah did all of this for an extended time in the midst of a very ungodly culture. He had to do this while he's staying alive. He had to have some kind of means to get the gopher wood, the, you know, the food and all that. How he did all that, I don't know. It doesn't go into details. Did he have wealth? Did he have some kind of capacity? Did he own a forest? I don't know. Hebrews 11:7 does say this, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, God told him that he would flood the earth, moved with godly fear. He believed what God said, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Okay, he was primarily concerned about his family, right? By which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, five letters here. 120 years? Possibly that's how long it was. We don't know for sure, but it's chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. A lot of times it's said that man kind of go from 900 some years old age to 120 years age. But a lot of people live longer than that afterward. So some people say, well, maybe that was God saying, in 120 years I'll destroy the earth. It would have taken that long for Noah to build that, probably. The ark and all that. He spent 120 years, and let's just give it that, 120 years building the ark, collecting the animals that God brings them, whether that was on an ongoing, oh no, here's two more. You know, two ducks. Let's take them in and put them in the ark. Or what did he do? I don't know. Okay? I don't know the process. We know that when God shut the ark up, everything was there. The food, the animals, and all that. He was gathering, preserving, and storing food. And he was also preaching to those ignoring him, or worse, like Marv kind of said. Can you imagine the mockery that he would have received from people that were corrupt anyway, that ignored God, hated God, rebelled against God? This is 2 Peter 2:5. And God didn't spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. That's where he said Noah had a wife. The sons had each a wife. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And then here's Luke. As it was in the days of Noah, you've heard this before, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, what is it saying here? Because a lot of people, I remember growing up and I heard nothing more than end time stuff. What it seems to me here isn't that they were eating or drinking, marrying or giving in marriage. It's just that they were kept doing it and ignored God in the process. Does that make sense? They totally rejected the preaching of Noah and kept doing what they were doing. That's what it seems like. Okay? So Noah obeys God and does all this for apparently 120 years. If I recall, in chapter 7, verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. Okay? So, if I understand the time correctly, I want to say, earlier on, verse 30 of chapter 5. Let's two things I'll just say here. Chapter 5, verse 30 says that Noah was 500 years old when he begat Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Got that? You see where it says that? It says in chapter 7, verse 6, is it 7, 6? Noah was 600 years old. When the floods came on the earth. So I'm going to do the math. When were his sons born? They were born 100 years before the flood. If the 120... I won't sing along. I'm teasing. I always tell people, sing along! Or whatever. Okay. 500 years old, he was 600 years old here, so they were born 100 years before the flood came. If the 120 years has to do with when God said he would destroy the world, it's possible that Noah was 480 years old when he was told his kids weren't even born. Does that make sense? I don't know. Genesis 5:30 says Ham, Shem, and Japheth were born when Noah was 500 years old. That's what makes it think like it's triplets. All born at the same time, right? 100 years later is when the flood came. In chapter 6, it talks about the days of man will be 120 years old. 120 years. If that's how long God gave them to repent to Noah's preaching, then Noah was told, you subtract 120 from 600, Noah was told when he was 480 years old before Ham, Shem, and Japheth were born. That's why it's possible that they didn't even have wives till maybe right before the flood or something. No children, as you said.
But even then, 100 years, they were 100 years old when the flood happened.
Right.
And, you know,
and 100 years old was young when you look at when people got married. So you had people that were 65 and you're like, wow, what's the rush, you know? Because a lot of them were 100, 140 before they had children even.
And they didn't, at this time, they weren't conscious of the fact that that God was going to change their longevity. They were still looking.
Right. Right. If this doesn't mean longevity, if it means 120 years, then God will send a flood. Then Noah was probably told around 480 years. His sons were born 20 years into it. And then he had 100 years to finish before the floods came. And somewhere along the way, they had wives.
In the process of him having children, he was building his ark.
Yes.
And his wife didn't come.
His sons would have eventually.
Yeah.
She could have been helping him.
Yeah.
I know. How did he maintain his livelihood? He would have still had to feed. But I mean, you have to have income unless somehow God planted a bunch of, like maybe he owned a forest. I don't know.
That's what I said. It was a woodcutter. So, you know,
yeah, but he still would have had to eat and all that. So.
Yeah.